Parshas Kedoshim, we have a pasuk v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So lo sakal cheresh v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. You shouldn't curse a deaf person v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, and in front of a blind person you should not place a stumbling block. So, pashup shot in the pasuk, we could ask, the Torah tells us not to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Why doesn't the Torah say you can't put a stumbling block in front of a person who could see? What we would call in halacha, pikeach, a person who's not blind. It seems as if the iser is to put in front of the blind person. What about the person who can see? If you cause him to stumble, it's also a problem. So why does the Torah focus on the iver? So I want to give two different explanations, and they are both very much l'shitasam in their mahalach, their derech, so to speak, in life and in learning. One is from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Taima Tikra, and it's very much al pi pshat. And then we'll get a beautiful Musar idea from Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz from his Das Torah. So let's start with Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim asked this kasha, why is it that it doesn't say lifnei pikeach, lo sitein michshol? Why does the Torah focus on lifnei iver? So he suggests an answer based on a Chakira, a suffix of the Yad Malachi. Yad Malachi, one of the Achronim. So the Yad Malachi is a collection of Klalei HaShas, of concepts in Shas. And in the section on Lifnei Iver, I think it's Shin Samach Zayin, but I looked it up, I don't remember exactly. But in that section, the Yad Malachi has a very interesting Chakira, which if you look at the Sfarim, the Lamdash Sfarim that quote the Sugi of Lifnei Iver, they all touch upon this Chakira. And it is the following. What would be the halacha if lifnei iver lo sitein michshol means I'm not allowed to place a stumbling block in front of a person and I'm going to cause him to stumble? The Torah says that's prohibited. What if I put the stumbling block down and then the person never stumbles? Okay, I put the stumbling block on the floor and the guy walks to the side and he doesn't trip over it, or he steps over it perfectly and he doesn't get hurt. So did I do an aveira or not? That's the chakira that the Yad Malachi says they were dealing with this shaila in the yeshiva. So the Yad Malachi says, first he brings raya's both ways. He brings a raya from a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says that a father's not allowed to hit his older son because maybe the son will get angry and then he will violate lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So the Gemara is mashma. The Gemara is mashma al pi pashtus, that the fact that he got angry is why he's over lifnei iver. So if you hit your son for whatever it is, okay, so the Gemara says that he'll get angry at you, and he'll get angry back at you, and then he'll be doing an aveira, implying that it's only a problem of lifnei iver if he actually gets angry, but if he wouldn't have gotten angry, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, so the Yad Malachi he's docha that raya. Yad Malachi's maskana, his conclusion is that you are over the iser even just by placing it down. He says it's the pashup shot in the pasuk. The pasuk says lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. You can't put the stumbling block down in front of the blind person. And then he brings a raya at the end that the din is you sign a contract with ribis included in the contract. So at that moment, the person who the Gemara says even the person who arranges the contract, the lawyer who oversees the documents, he also violates an aveira. No ribis was paid because the payment system was set up in the contract, but nobody paid any money yet. So no ribis was paid. Doesn't matter because once the contract is signed, it's already there's an agreement to do it. It's the michshol is set, even though it hasn't taken place yet. So that's the maskana of the Yad Malachi, that he felt that even just placing it down in front of the blind person is already an aveira. Reb Chaim wants to say a chiddush, and he wants to be machalik in order to answer our original kasha. Again, kasha was, why does it say lifnei iver lo sitein michshol? It should say lifnei adam, lifnei anybody. You can't put a michshol. Says Reb Chaim, maybe we can make a distinction based on this idea of the Yad Malachi. He says maybe the aveira of putting it down in front of the person, without the person ever stumbling, only exists by a blind person. Meaning, if I put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, so then we understand that you did an avera. Lufnei iver lo sitein machshava. Can't even put it down. Why? Because a blind person, it's matzui. It's very likely that the blind person is going to trip over it. That's what happens, right? Because he doesn't see it. And that's why he's the classic case. So he's going to fall over it. That's why. So just putting it down, when it comes to a blind person, just putting it down is already an avera. What about a pikeach? You're not allowed to cause a pikeach to stumble either. So it says Reb Chaim, maybe putting it down is not be'etzem a problem. You could put it down. Because he's going to see it. And he'll probably walk the other way. So it's not really a stumbling block. Now, if he trips over it, you did an avera. So you shouldn't do it. Because you could potentially be over an Isser D'oraisa by if he trips over it. But just to put it down, maybe we could say, putting it down in front of a pikeach is not really a problem. Because the assumption is he's going to see it and walk the other way. If that's the case, now we can understand Pshat in our pasuk. The pasuk says lufnei iver lo sitein mechshol. It's talking about putting the mechshol down. That is only lufnei iver. There's no problem of lufnei pikeach lo sitein mechshol. You're allowed to put it down in front of a pikeach. That's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's pshat in the in answering this kasha based on the chakir of the Yad Malachi. One the mosif, one nekuda to Reb Chaim. The very next piece in the time of Dikra in Reb Chaim Sefer, very much in his style, he points out that the pasuk says lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. The word michshol, which means stumbling block, should be spelled mem chaf vav shin lamed shin vav lamed michshol with a vav. And yet, if you look in the Torah, it's spelled chaser. So Reb Chaim points out, really, the Baal HaTurim already mentions this. The Baal HaTurim says it's spelled chaser, it's lacking, and the reason it's lacking, says the Baal HaTurim, because you could violate the Avera even if you don't actually put a stumbling block, but you give, let's say, bad advice, which is not a full-fledged stumbling block. It's a lower-level michshol, but you're still over the Isser. And therefore, it's coming to include even that type of case, so it spells it chaser. Reb Chaim says that this is the only place in Tanakh where it spells michshol without a vav, and he wanted to suggest a different reason. There's another nidon in Hilchos Lifnei Iver. What would be if something is mutter for me and usher for somebody else? But I'm not talking about objectively. Let's say Reuven is a Kohen and he's eating Truma. So obviously Shimon, it's usher for Shimon, who's not a Kohen, to eat the Truma. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a case where there is a Hechsher. I eat the Hechsher, my friend does not eat the Hechsher. Am I allowed to serve that Hechsher to my friend? Now, it's the same food. I think it's a good hechsher. So I eat it in my house. Am I allowed to bring it out? He has a chumrah that he keeps. He's careful not to eat anything that's not chalav Yisrael. So Reuven eats chalav stam. Shimon is makbid on chalav Yisrael. Shimon comes to Reuven's house. Is it okay for Reuven to bring out a tray of baked ziti that's used, that's non-chalav Yisrael trees? Is he allowed to do that? So it's not the right thing to do. The Gemara, there's a Gemara in Chulin that Reb Chaim quotes. Chulin Kuf Yud Aleph. There's another sugya by Noi Sukkah on Daf Yud and Mesach Sukkah. And there's a ritva over there that talks about it. It's not the right thing to do. If your friend is makbid on it, you should mention it to him. He should be aware. By the way, this is, you know, the food that I'm serving is kosher according to me, but it could be that it's not according to your standards. And then he won't eat it. Says Reb Chaim, that's why it's chaser. Because the word michshol is spelled chaser to show that even though it's not like a full-fledged michshol, because you hold that it's heter gomer, you hold that it's mutter. So for you, it's not a problem. So you don't think there's a problem with him eating it. Nonetheless, it's still a stumbling block. Even though it's not a real stumbling block because you hold it's mutter, you don't think he's doing an avera by eating it. But since he does think he's doing an avera, he is careful not to do it. So by giving it to him, you'd be over that isser of lufnei iver lo sitein michshol, and that's why it's chaser, because it's not a real michshol. So maybe we could be mosif. Reb Chaim does not say this answer, but maybe we could give another reason why michshol is spelled chaser based on the previous piece of Reb Chaim himself, and that is that the michshol, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, what did we say? The pasuk is talking about lifnei iver. Why lifnei iver? Why not lifnei pikeach? The answer, Reb Chaim said, is because maybe if you put a stumbling block in front of the person and he doesn't trip over it, when it comes to a pikeach, you didn't do an avera. When it comes to an iver, a blind person, you did an avera. So what would come out? The pasuk was talking about a case where you put a stumbling block in front of a person and he didn't trip over it. But since it's a blind person, you still did an avera. So maybe we could say that that's why it says mikshal chaser. It's like a hemshech of Reb Chaim's first pshat. It's mikshal chaser because it wasn't a mikshal. You put a stumbling block in front of the blind guy. It happens to be that for whatever reason, he turned to the side and he missed it. He didn't step. Normally he would. So it wasn't really a stumbling block in the end. It wasn't a mikshal. But you still violated the avera. And that's why it's chaser, because it wasn't for real. It didn't end up causing him to stumble. But still, it's still going to be unfair. So that's Reb Chaim's mahalach, and maybe a hosafa about why Mechshol spelled chaser. So I want to give a second pshat. Second pshat comes from Rabbi Yerucham in Das Torah in this week's parsha. Rabbi Yerucham says that, he says he's sod in Musar. He says any time that a person has a kula in an area, a way out. People, when they see an easier way, they take it, but then they take it too far. So he says, whenever we see something like that, we have to be more careful. We have to be more nizhar. He gives an example. He says the pasuk in Shmos Perek Chaf Aleph, that's Parshat Mishpatim, says the din by a makya aviv and a makalal aviv. If a person chas v'shalom would be makalal his parents, curse his parents, or makya cause them a wound, the halacha is they get misa. Which misa do they get? So a makalal gets skila. A curse, you curse your parents, you get skila, which is the most chamor of all the misos. And if you're makya aviv, you hit them, cause them to bleed, a chabura, so then you get chenek, which is the least, the lowest level of all the misos bezdin. B'chor etzapela, you would think, a makalal, you didn't hurt the person. It didn't, right? You said something about them, but it didn't. But you take chas v'shalom, a person causes their parents to bleed. They hit them, they hurt them. So that you would think that would be much worse. So why is it that the bigger punishment is for what's seemingly the less avera? Says the Ramban, that's exactly the point. That since the cursing is matzu yoser, because it's an easier thing. So we have to make like a fence. We have to strengthen. We have to be mechazek the seriousness of this avera, of this prohibition. So we have to give a bigger punishment because otherwise it's going to happen more. Hitting your parents, everybody knows you can't hit your parents. So yeah, we have to punish you, we'll punish you. But we don't have to strengthen the avera. The avera is strengthened by itself because everybody knows that that's a horrible thing to do. In other words, that sometimes the weaker it is, the more we have to counterbalance it. He gives another mashal from the altar of Kelm. The Gemara says at the beginning of Yuma, the Gemara talks about a place called Lishkas Beis HaEven. And the Gemara says, why is it called Lishkas Beis HaEven, the stone, the chamber of the stones, of the house of stones? Because everything there was done with stones. Why was it done with stones? So the Gemara explains, because the Parah Aduma, the avod of the Parah Aduma was kasher to be done with a Tfulyom. Tfulyom is somebody who's Tamei, he already went to the mikvah, and he's just waiting for Harav Shemesh. He's just waiting for the sun to set, and once the sun sets, automatically he's kasher. So it's a lower level of Tumah. There's nothing left for him to do, he just has to wait. Time will solve the problem, will make him pure, and he's allowed to work with the paraduma. So therefore, in order that he not be mezalzel in the avoda of the paraduma, the Gemara says, so we made sure that all of the kalim that are used in that avoda are made of stone, which are not mekabel tumah, they can't become tameh. So we're more careful about the tumah by the paraduma because we have a leniency. So the altar of Kelm says this same yesod, that any time that we have a situation where there's a natural, easier way, a natural kula, we have to counterbalance that by being more machmir, by being more careful, because otherwise it leads down a path of not taking the issue as seriously. And we were concerned that people were going to take Parah Aduma not as seriously, and therefore, to counterbalance that, we instituted an extra measurement, which was to use only stone earthenware pots. In this way, you can't make anything tameh. So it's like it's a chumrah to counteract this seeming kula, so we don't take it less seriously. And he says that's pshat in lifnei iver lo seitein michshol. A person naturally is not going to put a michshol, a stumbling block, in front of a person who can see. Why? Because they're going to notice. They're going to get upset at you. You don't want to get caught. It's less. Maybe you won't even trick them. But when it comes to a blind person will not know that you put it there. A blind person will not know that you tricked them because they don't know the difference. They're just and they're more mutsu that they're going to fall and get hurt. So it's easier to do. So the Torah has to be more careful about lifnei iver, about the blind person. So says Rabbi Yerucham, why does it say lifnei iver lo seitein michshol? You can't put it in front of anybody. The answer is, the Torah is being mazir, the Torah is warning us, you have to be more careful when it comes to the blind person, because the blind person is an area where it's easier to take it lighter. It's an easier to get away with. And because it's easier, it's more makil, we have to be more machmir by putting it in the pasuk. No, you can't do that. We have to be more strict, so to speak. The Aveira is the same, but the Torah is mazir, so the Torah emphasizes lifnei iver lo seitein michshol, specifically because it's in some ways easier to take advantage of the person who is blind. And he says very interesting, he gives almost for himself, or his, maybe this is what they did in yeshiva, I don't know, but he brings this lamaisa. Now it's the Bali Musar, a mid of the Bali Musar, is a lot of times, and you look throughout Das Torah and a lot of the Sfarim of the Bali Musar, a lot of the Musar was very pashut, very straightforward, very simple. But It wasn't the brilliance. It wasn't the tiefkeit, the depth. Sometimes it was, but it wasn't necessarily the depth. Sometimes you just read a Rashi, and wow, what a message from Rashi! But the brilliance of the Bali Musa was they were able to see this and bring it into their own lives. So Rabbi Yerucham says, "Umizen nomod lamaisa." That this is we could take this lamaisa. Say that it's a very nice concept in Musar, that any time that we have something lenient, we have to be strict about it. Because otherwise, it's gonna spiral downward, and we're gonna not take it as seriously. From the Gemara in Yuma, from the Mekalel of Avi'imo, but he says, you know, by Rabbi Rucham, I guess in the summer months, they used to say Psukei Dezimra quicker in the yeshivas. I guess I don't know. Also, Birchas Kriya Shema. Why? Because for whatever their time zone, whatever the times were. By the time the yeshiva started davening, Zman Kriya Shema, maybe not the yeshiva, maybe the Balabatim, I don't know. But the Zman Kriya Shema was early, and I guess it got light outside very early. So the Zman Kriya Shema was early. Shacharis was always the same. So in the winter, you had plenty of time because it didn't get dark until much later. But in the summer, when it gets light very early, It didn't get light, till the day started later in the winter. But in the summer, where the day started very, very early, so Zman Kriya Shema was earlier. So Zman Kriya Shema was earlier. He said they had to rush through Psukei Dezimra. They had to rush through Birchas Kriya Shema to make sure to get Kriya Shema Bizman. So he said, we're making a kula in tefillah. It's necessary. Im kizem mutter al pi adin. It's mutter al pi din. It's not only mutter, it's recommended. I mean, if whatever the situation is, they can't make shacharis earlier. So then you got to rush through Psukei Dezimra. You got to move quicker because you got to get to Shema. You have to say Shema before the Zman. Otherwise, you missed out. So you got to do it. But he says, but if you're going to rely on that kula, it's going to be a zilzal in tefillah. It's going to be zilzal. You're going to start not taking Psukei Dezimra seriously. You're going to start being mezalzal in Psukei Dezimra. That it's not so important. He says, you know what we should do? Kiar al kocha aleinu lahosim negda takef eza chumra. We have to put a chumra on ourselves to counteract, to not think that we're taking this lightly. And he says, what does he say? In the summer months, from Emes V'Yatziv until Gal Yisrael, the short paragraphs from the end of Shema until Shmon Esrei, until the Zman Tefillah, if you make Zman Kriya Shema, you have plenty of time until Zman Tefillah. He says, from Emes V'Yatziv until Gal Yisrael, very, very slow in the summer months. We're going to be very slow. Ki b'makom asinu kula, aleinu tekev hasim chomer negda. when you see that there's a rifyon, a weakening, you have to be stark against it. We have to look like the Bali Musa. We have to look at areas of our lives where, for one reason or another, we end up having to, what we have to do, the right thing to do. But sometimes the right thing to do causes us to take a certain area of halacha less seriously. We have to be mechazik that in each person for themselves. That's what the Bali Musa would do. They would look at themselves, look at yourself and see an area of your life where, unfortunately, because of the situation, you take this area a little bit less chamur, but you don't want it to get out of hand. So the way you do it is l'umazeh, you have to be machmir. So just to summarize, the we asked the kasha lifnei v'lositein michshol. Why does it say lifnei pikeach? Reb Chaim Kanievsky suggested, based on the Yad Malachi's chakira, that maybe the iser is the iser. If you put down the stumbling block and they don't stumble, maybe the iser was only by an iver, not a pikeach. And that was the pshat answer. And the musar answer from Rabbi Yerucham was, it's lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, because we have to emphasize the fact that you can't put stumbling block in front of the blind person, because the blind person was naturally you would take advantage of. And anytime you have a situation where you would naturally take advantage, you would naturally be mekel, you have to counterbalance that so that you don't lose the importance of what you're doing. You have to make a chumrah opposite that. And therefore the Torah emphasizes specifically the iver, because he's the one that is easier to take advantage of.